and welcome to the ICIS Europe Chemical Update podcast, where we discuss the latest market news. I am William Lemus, and with me today is Mark Victory, editor of the Global Automotive Report. Mark's going to tell us how income inequality has implications for the automotive market. So Mark, the IMF has called the growing income gap in developing countries the defining challenge of our time. How does that impact the automotive sector?
Well, it has really strong impacts, both on cost and on demand. Income inequality, firstly, leads to social discontent and political instability. That creates shock events. You can see that in the recent Brexit vote, which a lot of commentators are reading as Bank of America Merrill Lynch, for example, call it the biggest electoral riposte yet to the age of inequality. If you look before the Brexit vote and after, you see a huge impact on steel costs. That's because as financial markets become unstable, investors go to safe haven investments, such as metals, is a typical safe haven product. It's got lower risk.
Interesting. So hold on. I often think of metals are, you know, you're gonna if financial markets are bad, you want to buy gold. So people are actually buying steel.
Gold is the classic flight to safety metal, but it affects across all metals because they're all generally safe haven investments and because they're physical goods. If you look at steel prices in the build-up and aftermath of the UK referendum, for example, at the end of May, steel prices were around $50 per tonne for steel billet, whereas by the 5th of July, they'd risen to over $325 per tonne, a more than five-fold increase because of that flight to safety. Now, that's really important for the automakers because steel accounts for about 60% on the average weight of a finished car. Varies from model to model, so you can use aluminium and other materials. But that's a huge, huge impact on the cost of a car. And as the inequality grows, these shock events have become more likely. So you're looking at more times when these financial markets are unstable. That huge rise in costs has effectively wiped out overnight the cost savings from crude oil that they've been experiencing over the last couple of years.
And you also mentioned demand. So you're actually dealing with higher cost and you're...
Higher cost, lower demand. Probably the worst possible situation
for a producer. And I assume that would be because people are more reluctant to make an investment to buy a new vehicle.
Absolutely. If you don't know that you've got a job tomorrow,
you're not going to make a commitment. Exactly.
Try and make your old one last longer.
Well, that's not a good combination for automakers, is
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. And you see... In the wake of Brexit, again to use that example, you see the growth forecast being revised down because of uncertainty. Uncertainty is always anathema to financial markets. But on top of that, even if it weren't to have any impact on GDP growth, the growing income disparity would have a huge impact on car sales because as wealth becomes concentrated among a small percentage, that means that a greater portion of the population doesn't see any benefit from increased GDP. They don't get any increase in disposable income, so they've got no reason, no stimulus to buy a new car.
To spend more money.
Yeah, so at tipping point, what you're going to see is that in the future, GDP may well disconnect from car registrations. You might not see that pattern anymore. It's not inevitable, but it's a process.
So if you're an automaker and you're looking at that and you're planning for the future, how do you plan? What do you think, how is that going to impact future planning for auto companies?
Well, concentration of wealth means that there's going to be more rich and more poor. They've both got vastly differing needs, which will mean that you'll see increased diversification of automotive fleets. You'll need to cater for more extremes on either side, because you look at highly wealthy will want, you know, highly desirable models, highly desirable top-of-the-range status symbols, whereas the poorer off are going to want something that reliably gets them from A to B and doesn't put too much of a dent in the wallet. So you're going to see status against affordability and reliability.
And I would expect that the raw materials used to produce those vehicles would be very different.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, both push for innovation, but innovation in very different ways. If you're going for the higher end product, you need to make design that's attractive, that's got new technology in it, that's very advanced. Whereas if you're going for the affordability route, then the whole thing becomes innovating to drive costs down and innovating to make material reliable and less expensive. Now, if you're a chemical chain producer or a parts manufacturer, you need to decide for the future, which audience are you going to chase? Are you going to go for the high end, which has a much, much narrower customer base, but probably a higher margin? Or do you go for the much, much wider customer base, but at the much lower margin? So do you go for the affordability, or do you go for the status? And that entirely dictates your innovation processes for the next 30 years.
So chemical companies are probably paying attention to that right now.
I would hope so.
You'd hope so. And what do you expect? Which direction do you think they're going to go?
I think actually the automotive makers themselves will go in both directions, because you'll get brands like Dacia, which has been a huge success story that's chasing that affordability. But you also still have the brands like Porsche and Ferrari. But they'll probably become more... I think what you'll see is less in the middle. You'll see less of the kind of... middle tier brands. You'll see more at the extremes, and you'll see more companies like that, which is what I would say, it becomes a decision for the chemical makers. There is no right or wrong answer to that, but it's important that there is an answer to that and they've thought about which they go. You can't just go on as business as usual.
Well, thank you very much for explaining all that to us, Mark, and please join us again for the next installment of the ICIS Europe Chemical Update, or catch up with the latest news on the ICIS dashboard. For ICIS here in London, I am William Lemos.